Blog Talk Radio.
Presents another Gone But Not Forgotten airline. The past four episodes were called Airlines Gone But Not Forgotten. In episode 54, we talked about Transworld Airlines, or better known as TWA. Episode 55, we heard about Pan American World Airlines, Pan Am. Episode 56 was National Airlines. And 57, last week, Braniff International Airlines. And today, we talk about Eastern Airlines, my airline. Great guests, history, and memories by former employees of these airlines are included in the broadcast. My name is Neil Holland. I'm a retired captain with Eastern Airlines and producer of the show. If you're listening on the show's website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie, you'd like to call in and talk with our guest, host, or to add your comments, you can dial us at 213-816-1611. The producer, me, will see your number on the caller's board and open your microphone, which is your phone, to bring you into the conversation. Now, let me repeat that number again, 213-816-1611. We're a satellite-based radio show, and we're carried around the world and over 50 countries. We've identified that listen in regularly, and we've been doing this for over 11 years now. And if you'd like to listen to any of our previous shows, nearly 700 now, you can go to the web address I gave you, which was again www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie. Now that Captain Eddie is abbreviated CaptainEddie. And you can choose any show from this show back to 11 years ago when it all began. Margaret, you were there with us when we started. So, and we'll be hearing from Margaret. She's on a road traveling eastbound to Jacksonville. Since we have callers and listeners from all airlines, we thought it would be a great idea to start a series of little-known facts about airlines that we call Gone But Not Forgotten. Now, I see on my board hosting today's show, you're going to have to give me just a minute to open up some microphones here. because not only talking and producing at the same time, boy, mistakes come up real fast. So I'm going to open, first of all, Captain Jim Holder's microphone and say, hello, Jim. How are you?
Okay. How's everybody else doing?
Okay. Well, we can't hear everybody else, but let me open up Captain Jim Harris's microphone and say, hello, Jim Harris. Now, wait a minute, Jim, before you say hello, Jim Holder, you're in the Atlanta area, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. And Jim Harris, you're about out there in Texas. Exactly where in Texas are you, Jim Harris?
I'm exactly in Dripping Springs, Texas, which is about 15 miles due west of Austin, Texas.
Okay.
It's called the Hill Country. It's got lots of little hills around here.
All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. And now let's see who else we've got. Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm going to open Margaret Bars is with us, and she's in a car on Interstate 10 and traveling eastbound, and she's going to be visiting over here in the St. Augustine, Jacksonville area. Let's see if we can get with Margaret. Hello, Margaret. How's your reception? Can you hear us?
I can hear you loud and clear. Hello, everyone.
Okay. Was that Luann in the background screaming? Or
Of course. She's always screaming, always up to something, you know.
All right. All right. And just where on Interstate 10 are you? Are you getting closer to Jacksonville?
Well, we are. Sorry, Captain Neil. Luann's going to take the phone. Hey, Captain Neil. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
I just give you an update. We've been past Tallahassee, Lake City, and now we're at, now hang on a minute, and I'll give you a mile marker, 272, and we're barreling on down to Jacksonville. Now, Miss Leadfoot Margaret is a driving, and I'm surprised we haven't been pulled over by the Florida Highway Patrol, you know, like they used to do on that show. I think it was called The Dukes of Hazzard. And that's where we're from, if most of you remember, Hazzard, Kentucky. Oh, no, slow down, Margaret. We got the fuzz coming up fast. Oh, for crying out loud, stop being dramatic, Luann. That's enough. Let Captain Neil get on with the show.
Attention, please. Eastern Airlines Flight 72, your Fiesta flight to Mexico and the ancient pyramids, now departing at gate 19. Attention, please. Eastern Airlines Flight 19, your holiday cruise to the emerald beauty of a Puerto Rican rainforest, now ready for departure. Attention, please. Eastern Airlines Flight 25, your vacation flight to cool Caribbean lagoons, now ready for boarding.
If you had your mind, you could do many things. You could widen your world if you had wings.
Fly to a plaza where the people play, at a Mexican fiesta in that land of Olé.
If you had wings, if you had wings, if you had wings, had wings, had wings, had wings, had wings.
You could fly to Bermuda. Like a flying fish.
Next up, computer. We'll be on radio in a minute.
Have a ball on a cruise ship. Or catch fish if you wish.
If you had wings. If you had wings. If you had wings. Had wings. Had wings. Had wings. Had wings. Had
you won by a sombrero. Made of real fine straw. Or how about a nice handbag for your pretty mama? You can have cheap. You can have cheap. You can have cheap. Have cheap. Have cheap. Have cheap. Have cheap. You could follow a thread wind down to old San Juan and explore an old fortress before traveling on.
If you had wings, if you had wings, if you had wings, had wings, had wings, had wings.
You could flitter and flutter to the Isle of Spring, to that emerald green garden, and do wonderful things.
If you had wings, if you had wings, if you had wings, had wings, had wings, had wings, had wings.
You could fly with flamingos to that old French town, go on regal New Orleans, wears a carnival crown. If you had wings, if you had wings, if you had wings, had wings, had wings, had wings, had wings.
You do have wings, you can do all these things, you can widen your world, for you have wings, for you have wings.
A beautiful song, theme music, and guess where that music was used? Anyone would like to venture? Let's see. I'm going to open some microphones. Yeah, well, no. I guess it was on television, but it was also, let's see, I got all the microphones now open just about. So anybody can identify that song with a theme park here in Florida?
Disney.
That's right.
Must be Disney World.
Yeah,
yeah. Tomorrowland.
That's right. Who's the one that identified that? I'll send you a gift.
Well, Commander Ron.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you, Margaret and Luann, for showing up also. Appreciate you being on the show today. And I'm glad that Hazard County Sheriff, or better known as Florida Highway Patrol, rather, with those glasses on, haven't stopped you, and you're making good time heading this way. Now, I'm going to turn the history of Eastern. We're going to start off by talking about Eastern, and then we've got some special guests that we'll be talking with during the program. So let me see. Jim Holder, if you will start us off on the short history of Eastern Airlines. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, thanks, Neil, and hello, girls.
Hey there, Captain Jim.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Now, we have a short history of Eastern Airlines, and then we're going to have special guests that are with us today that will tell us about a tragic part of Eastern history, and with a very special request from the listeners. And we also have a guest who was a former Eastern employee from San Juan, Puerto Rico. He'll be talking about the Eastern Airlines' importance to Puerto Rico and the Caribbean. Now, Captain Harris, how about starting us off with some of those Eastern history?
Okay. Eastern Airlines is one of those carriers that most of us will have heard of, but not many have flown, especially if you're under 40 years old. We take a look at the rise and fall of this once great U.S. carrier. The origin of Eastern Airlines can be traced back to the late 1920s when, flying as Pitcairn Aviation, its life began as a simple airmail carrier. Harold Pitcairn, in 1929, sold a fledgling airline to Mr. Clement Keyes, owner of North American Aviation, who changed its name to Eastern Air Transport. The Airmail Act of 1934 saw a change in the aviation landscape, which led Eastern to split off from North American Aviation and to start trading as Eastern Airlines. Under the management of WW1 ace and race car driver Eddie Rickenbacker, the airline began to grow. Used a fleet of two Fokker FX and three Ford aircraft tri-motors with Curtis Condors and Kingbirds added later, its route network expanded massively. Over the next few years, it added connections to Atlanta, Miami, Boston, and Richmond.
At the time, the majority of big airlines in the U.S. were heavily focused on transcontinental flying. However, Eastern was different, homing instead on connecting the East Coast. Within a few years, the carrier has secured a number of routes spanning from New York in the north to Miami in the south. Their near monopoly of inter-East Coast services attracted high demand from passengers looking for vacation in the Florida area. Adopting the tagline, number one to the sun, Eastern enjoyed rapid growth throughout the 30s. In 1933, Rickenbacker, along with his business partners, bought the airline from General Motors. A year later, Eastern was the fourth largest airline in the U.S. by passenger numbers. Eastern played its part in World War II, providing military air transport services between Florida, Pennsylvania, and Texas. And when the war ended, Eastern Airlines emerged stronger than ever, ready to continue building its empire. It was the most profitable airline in post-war times and never, ever required government subsidies. So, Eastern built a great silver fleet of DC-3s and DC-4s after the war. However, the man who made Eastern what it was Eddie Rickenbacker. He was becoming a thorn in the side of the successful carrier. Unwilling to invest in expensive jet aircraft, he was eventually ousted and replaced by Malcolm McIntyre as CEO. This was in 1959. He stayed on as chairman of the board until 1963, when he eventually left the airline completely after a quarter of a century of service. That's the same year the board of directors brought in Captain Floyd D. Hall, and he was a former TWA captain, to run the airline. The 50s and 60s saw some key moments in Eastern's history. It brought in Colonial Airlines, giving it the ability to start routes into Canada. It also began service to Mexico City and opened its own terminal at New York's Idlewild Airport, later named John F. Kennedy Airport. Jim?
Eastern Airlines was not to be left behind in the race to become a jet engine operator. In 1960, it acquired the first of 16 DC-H-21s it would fly. And in 1961, it began operating flights with a Boeing 720. In 1964, saw Eastern become the lost customer for the Boeing 727-100, of which it went on to operate a fleet of 75. Through the 60s and 70s, Eastern's fleets and routes expanded massively. It was a launch customer for numerous other game-changing aircraft, including the Lockheed 1011 TriStar, and was the first U.S. airline to operate the Airbus A300. It became the official airline of Walt Disney World when it opened in 1971 and remained so for almost 20 years. The late 70s had been hard on Eastern as competition on Delta as its new hub in Atlanta sparked a price war and ate into the profits. Captain Holder.
Thank you. Deregulation in 78 only added its woes as more carriers came with lower fares to encroach on its territory. The airline struggled on, becoming the launch customer for the Boeing 757, an aircraft which the then president, Frank Borman, hoped would turn its fortunes around. However, the low prices of oil made the savings from this new aircraft almost negligible, and the debt accrued from this airplane and the purchase of the Airbus A300 weighed heavily on the airline's balance sheet. At one point, it was paying out more than $700,000 a day. That is unbelievable. In interest, before any flights had even taken off. At the breaking point, Borman eventually sold the airline to Texas Air in 1986. Texas Air was under the leadership of Frank Lorenzo, who had also recently bought Continental Airlines, too. However, shortly after the sale, the FAA hit Eastern with the biggest fine in aviation history, That's until 2010 when American Airlines was fined $24.2 million for something, charging the carrier $9.5 million for violations. Jim?
Kept with more money going out than coming in, Eastern was forced to scale back. Employees were laid off, and those who stayed had to face steep pay cuts and benefits. Labor disputes were rife, leading to costly flight cancellations, which lost the airline billions in revenues. Eastern Airlines shuttle was sold off, eventually becoming the Trump shuttle. Other parts were sold off to Texas Airlines and Continental Airlines until finally the airlines filed for bankruptcy in 1989. The final flight of Eastern Airlines took place on Saturday, January 19, 1991. At its peak, it had clocked up more than 33,000 passenger miles a year. In 1989, it achieved just 11,000. You might think that this is the end of Eastern Airlines' story, but there's a twist in the tale. In 2011, a group bought the trademarks and intellectual property rights of the defunct carrier, and in 2014 filed in an application to begin service in the U.S. It began using Boeing 737s to provide wet lease services out of Miami International in late 2014 until using a traditional hockey stick livery. It operated charter flights between Miami and destinations United States, Caribbean, and Latin America. In 2017, Swift Air acquired the Boeing 737-800 assets of Eastern Airlines, stating Eastern Airlines' name, assets, associated trademarks will be retained within the transaction. So if you've seen Eastern at airport recently, you're not necessarily going mad. And that's a short version of once proud, historic, great airlines, Eastern Airlines.
Captain Holder, I'm just going to forego the comments about the last week's show because we have some special guests with us today. But I am going to add the comments that we've received because of one of our guest requests to be on the show today. And it's about concerning Eastern Airlines Flight 401 and the memorial that's being is going to be dedicated here, hopefully in December. But I'd like to give a few of these comments. One was from Barbara Rodriguez, and she said, I shared this on a private group for the Eastern folks in Boston and encouraged others to share. And my comment back to her was to thank you, Barbara. It's time for public awareness for this tragic aviation disaster with an appropriate memorial. And Barbara replied, I was flying only 6 months with Eastern on that fateful evening. I encourage all of our Eastern family to spread this information we're about to tell you about on the show. Sandy Pearl, who's with us today, also shared a comment, and she said that she shared it with the Silverliners International. And Carol Fenzoil, she says that I'm going to try to send your post to the ex-employees of Braniff International Airlines. And Yodis Frankie, I had the flight attendant Beverly from Eastern Flight 401 on my flight from Miami to Newark when the memorial was first erected. She slipped and injured her ankle during the ceremony. I was so fortunate to have her on my flight, and we talked the entire time. Those were just a few comments that I wanted to share with you, Beverly and Ron, our guest today. We have Miss Beverly Raposa and also Mr. Ron Infantino. I hope I pronounced both names correctly. I have a hard time doing that when it is not S-M-I-T-H or J-O-N-E-S. I have no problems there. Beverly grew up outside of Newark, Rhode Island, and applied to TWA, but she was a half inch too short. She was hired by Eastern as they needed Spanish speakers for their growing San Juan flights and graduated in March of 1969. She said that she loved it. After the crash, she flew briefly, then left Eastern, and later worked at a large travel agency in Fort Lauderdale. She spent 13 years taking groups on tours all over the world, then worked for Generations Gold in West Palm Beach for 28 years. As the VP or Vice President, she was in charge of training clients across the country and traveled extensively. She finally retired January 2021 to help her sister in her fight against bone marrow cancer. She is looking forward to keeping her promise to the 101 passengers and fellow crew who perished on Flight 401 that she would not give up until they were remembered on a memorial, gone but not forgotten. Now, Ron Infantino, Ron and his bride, Lily, were returning home from their honeymoon that night. Sadly, Lily did not survive the crash. He was formerly in the Air Force and applied to Eastern for a job. He received a letter in the hospital asking him to come in for an interview. They did not realize he was on Flight 401. After an almost two-year recovery from his crash injuries, he went into real estate and property management until the market crashed. Then in 1978, he went to work for Aflac. I guess that's the duck company, Aflac, in management positions. He was the district coordinator, recruited and trained new employees, and also did sales. He was very successful. He is now semi-retired and just moved from Miami up to the Villages, Florida, and he's looking forward to getting his life back to normal after fighting esophageal cancer with strong chemo and radiation. Beverly and Ron, I'd like to first read a posting the radio show did this past week and turn the show over to you and Ron for your comments and your thoughts. Our posting was like this. It said, in the nearly 12 years of radio broadcasting, has the Eastern Airlines radio show and the airline radio show made a request for donations of any kind? However, this request is one that we happily endorse and ask for your help for this great cause. I will let this letter addressed to the radio show explain and ask you for your consideration. Details are at the end of the letter as to how to go about making a donation. And thank you for your help. The letter from Beverly reads, Hi, Neil. There is just a small core group of us, two flight attendant survivors and one passenger survivor, who have persisted in placing a memorial to the 101 souls that perished December 29th, 1972 in the crash of EAL 401. They are myself, Mercy Ruiz, flight attendant, and Ron Infantino, a passenger. We lost our beloved Patricia McQuigg, a flight attendant, 2 years ago to cancer. We have a few support people. The goal now is to dedicate a memorial on the 50th anniversary of the crash, December 29th, 2022. The memorial will be located on a grassy median strip of Curtis Parkway, graciously given us by the city of Miami Springs. Many of the flight attendants, known as stewardesses at that time, lived in the villas adjacent to the Curtis Mansion while we attended training. Why? To especially remember those who did not survive that night. Their lives were lost in vain. Many safety features came out of the crash, such as CRM. The crash was one of three that contributed to it. And also a large flashlight. That's Cockpit Resource Management, by the way, CRM. And also a large flashlight next to the flight attendant's seat. That was something we all said we wish we had that night when we started working on this many years ago. I made a promise that I would never give up until these souls were remembered. A much larger memorial was designed, but we were unable to raise that amount of money. I remembered what Patty said to me months before she died. Let's take the money we do have and put up whatever we can before we are all dead. But our lives got in the way, and my sister began a bone marrow cancer 3 years ago, and I've been there for her. And Ron battled esophageal cancer last year, but several months ago, a friend of mine who is a senior flight attendant with Spirit called me and said he knew how important the memorial was to me, and this being the 50th year, he wanted to help make it a reality. And so we began in earnest again. The National Air Disaster Foundation has been accepting donations and holding them in trust for the memorial. The cost of the memorial is $8,705. They have $8,300 now in donations, so we are $405 short for the memorial. But we also have to pay for the installation, which is $3,500, and we have to have a concrete slab in place for the memorial to sit on. We know we will have to raise at least $1,500, more than that. So we have to raise about $5,405. We are so close to having a memorial and dedicating it on the 50th anniversary. I have to go to before the Miami Springs City Council on June 27th because the memorial we are going to place is smaller than the one originally planned. Once I have that approved, I can give the approval to the monument company, and then to the NADF Foundation. We'll send the 50% of the memorial cost. This must be done by mid-July in order to have the memorial in Miami Springs and in place for the dedication. We would be so appreciative of any tax-free donations to help us reach this goal. Here is the donation information. Donations may be made by check payable to the National Air Disaster Foundation. Please make a notation on the check that it's for Eastern 401 Memorial. Or you can send a check to the National Air Disaster Foundation at 2020 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, number 315, that's Washington, D.C., 20006. And you can pay by credit card. Please go to their website, which is www.plainsafe. That's a simple one. www.plainsafe.org. And click on donation. Please make sure that and make a notation that it is for the Eastern 401 Memorial. The executive director of NADF is Gail Dunham. And she asks that you also send her an email for both check and credit card donations with your name so they can send you a thank you letter acknowledging your tax-deductible donation. This is for both corporate and personal donations. And you may also call NADF, the foundation, at 888, and I'll give you the phone numbers later if you have any questions. And she says, she closes out by saying, thank you so much, Neil, for your support to this ever so special cause. I look forward to being on the show with you Saturday. And here she is with Ron with us on our show today. So this will be on the Facebook that we will give these numbers again, the telephone numbers, the addresses, the names, and how to do it, go about doing this. But we've had a very good response to it so far. And now I'm going to turn it over to Beverly. And Beverly, I hate to take up most of the time, but I wanted to get that information in your letter to the folks that are listening. Let's see. I'm going to have to open up your microphone because you said that you had closed your microphone, but now it is open. So hello, Beverly.
Hi, Captain Neil. Can you hear me okay?
I got you 5x5.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very much for having Ron and myself on this today. It is such a very special cause and very dear to my heart. And I wanted to go over with the listeners and tell them some of the facts of this because it's been a while. You know, it was very difficult to get to this point. It's been many years in the making. We started this after the 35th anniversary, actually, when a Miami Herald reporter, Louisiana, said, why don't you guys get together and try to, come up with a memorial? And, you know, we did, but, you know, none of us really knew what we were doing. And it took a while. There were many disappointments along the way, many times that we thought we had a home for the memorial, the difficulties in raising it, the money for that large memorial. But you know what? We never gave up. We never gave up. And for me, it's something that I wanted for so long. And now I'm feeling blessed that it's coming to fruition. And I know Ron and Mercy share that same feeling too. And I know Patty up there in heaven is looking down because she was so important to this. Personally, I'm so grateful to my dear friend, Senior Flight Attendant for Spirit Airlines, Shannon DeWitt, you know, for helping to make this a reality. You know, he called me several months ago, and he said, Bev, I know how important this memorial is to you. And this being the 50th year, I want to help you to make it a reality. And I'm like, all right. So he did a lot of the research into the different monument companies, and we began working with PG Memorial. And that is a company that's taking it from point one to all the way to the end. So kind of a little description of the memorial. And, you know, Neil, I will send you a picture this coming week of the updated rendition of the memorial, as I had to make a change on it in the wording. And we did have a plane up, but we had to remove that. So it's created by PG Memorials, which is Picture This on Granite. If any of you want to look and see some of the beautiful things that they've done, you can go to their website, which is www.picturethisongranite.com. The memorial itself is gray granite with a black granite face on the slanted top with the names of the 101 souls that perished. And it reads, Eastern Airlines, EA-401, December 29, 1972. Flight from New York / JFK to Miami, MIA, in loving memory and to honor the 100 souls that perished and the 75 survivors. It stands about 4 feet high with the base, and it's about 3.5 feet across. And as you said, and I mentioned in my letter, it's going to be located in Miami Springs on Curtis Parkway, very close to the Miami Springs Country Club and the Curtis Mansion. And, you know, years ago when the Miami Springs Council, when we originally approached them and they gave us the approval, oh, my gosh, that was quite a night. And I'd like Ron to – I know, Ron, you remember how excited we were that night and what you and I were out on the sidewalk and looking up to all of our folks up there. I'd like you to tell everyone – you know, your feelings, what you felt that night that we received that approval and finally had a home for the memorial. Ron?
Yes, I will, Beverly. I'd be happy to. Excuse my voice, everyone, I'll do the best I can. I mean, this was a long time coming, you know, and I remember so vividly, you know, almost 50 years ago at the Lily's gravesite promising her that one day we're going to have a memorial. I don't know when, but one day, and thank God, I think it's coming to fruition. And we're so excited that the city of Miami Springs has given us a beautiful piece of property. We couldn't have asked for a better piece of property, to be honest with you. If you're ever familiar with Miami, it's right over the 36th Street, where all the training centers are at also. You got Airbus there. You got Pan Am Flight Academy. You have Boeing. A lot of the flight simulators are there. A lot of training goes on, too. So this is really appropriate. As you turn into Miami Springs, the memorial will be over there, and people will be able to see it and meditate. And we're just blessed to have something like that happen to us. So we're excited about it.
And Ron and I, well, when we came out of the hearing, you know, we were out on the sidewalk, and, you know, we looked up, and we said, we did it. We did it. You will never be forgotten. We are going to make this happen, okay? And you know, the importance of the memorial is that, you know, it's so important to family members and especially and friends of those 101 passengers and crews. I have spoken to some of the family members, one of them that lost his sister in this crash, and it's so important, and it's giving them a place if they wish to go and remember their loved ones. Certainly, they can't go out to the crash site, you know, in the Everglades, and I think it's really going to help them with being a very respectful remembrance dedicated 50 years later. And it will allow closure for some people. And Ron, I know, you know, that you and Lily had only been married 20 days. And as you said, you made that promise to Lily that she would never be forgotten. And so I know it's very important to you, right?
Well, I'll be honest with you and everybody out there. There's not a day that doesn't go by. And I'm sure, Beverly, you can attest to this, that we don't think about it. It crosses our mind. Every time we look up and see an airplane, it's there. It's always going to be there. And that's just part of life. You know, we can't change things that's happened, but we can make things perhaps better. And that's what we're looking forward to you know, there's so many people that I've met. They all have their own plane crashes in life, you know. And it's how you handle it and what happens afterwards that counts the most, you know, because we're all going to have times of trouble in our lives. It's what you make of it, you know. You could wallow in it, have pity, whatever, but, you know, you got to get over it and move on with your life and make things better for you and for other people around you.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And so this is going to give many members, family members like Ron that. And, you know, the donations that I know Neil read the letter and that I placed in there, you know, the donations are being taken by the National Air Disaster Foundation for many years. Gail Dunham, who's the executive director, you know, she asked that each donation, whether by check or credit card, have the notation on it, Eastern 401 Memorial, because
yeah.
The donations are earmarked for the memorial. 100% goes into that escrow account for the memorial. Nothing
right.
is held for the foundation. So 100% of your tax deductible donation is going to go to them. And you will receive a letter acknowledging that tax deductible donation. So for us, we are so hopeful that we can raise that $5,405 still needed for the installation of the memorial and the placement of that concrete slab. And I have to say, we truly, Ron, Mercy, myself, we are so grateful for the support and love that we have been shown, especially this past week, Neil. Oh, my gosh. The response has been just tremendous. You know,
yep.
I have been working on this myself with Shannon really hard the last 2.5 months. I can't do it without all of you and your support, because Ron and Mercy and myself, we are so close to making this a reality, but we need you and we so appreciate you. So thank you so very much. Mercy will actually be writing an article on the memorial for the Silver Liner Fall Magazine, and I hope then she and I can be on a show maybe, Neil, sometime in August, maybe, to give you an update on the progress of the memorial. So we will have the dedication on December 29th of
yes.
the Eastern Airline 401 Memorial.
Yes.
It is
yes.
going to happen. And I hope, Ron and I and Mercy all hope, that some of you listening will be able to join us. You know, please feel free to reach out to me. My contact information is at the bottom of the letter I sent that Neil sent out to everyone. But I am so, so very excited, as is Ron and Mercy. So, Neil,
and
I know, can't thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got another person here that's rooting for you as well. Sandy, I think you're online with us. Are you with us, Sandy
yes,
Pearl?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you know how important the memorial is. Tell us, Sandy, about the memorial and your thoughts about it.
Well, you know, I think that memorial brings many things to people's minds, and we're pretty much conditioned through the war, our national representatives and legislators and events that have occurred. And it's very important that people understand that A memorial is a preservation of memory. It preserves mm-hmm. the memory of something, anything that serves to keep in memory. A monument is a memorial of a deceased person or an event. And these are so important to be able to educate our younger generations to carry it on. And it's not mm-hmm. when a child may ask you about it, but know that they will. And it is so important that we continue to represent the legacies and lives of people. And I am very, very humbled to say that my memorial of Southern Flight 242 came to fruition this past Easter Sunday, April 4th, on the 45th anniversary of the crash, 1977, and it happened this year of 22. And to say what the people that have initiated this, supported it, and continue to do blood, sweat, tear, and sacrifice to have this built, to honor and remember, never to be forgotten, the souls that passed and the people that have had to learn to cope and live with it. I am so honored to be on board with y'all and to tell you I made my personal donation, and it is with such pride that I hope and pray I can be there beside you. I will tell you, going to the memorial as it is built has brought peace to me. I don't know that the word would be closure, but I can say that it has brought such a great sense of peace because of what we hold in our minds as survivors, that I no longer walk the path of that airplane crash. This was the first year, the last year that I walked it, when the memorial was recognized and built. And I'm telling you, to see that monument with all those names and to know that you've met their children, their spouses and grandchildren and great-grandchildren now, there were 72 killed, 9 on the ground, and 22 survivors. And like Beverly and Ron said, is that there's so few left to carry it on. But this yeah. is something that is so important in the industry and the legacy of all that are involved. And congratulations to you. Godspeed, and may your heart find peace to see it all together as one now and not fragmented oh. from what we went through. But Godspeed to you on this. So humbled and so excited to see this come to fruition for all of the people involved, the airline industry, and everything that makes it come together. And I thank you. I feel very privileged to even have a voice in this.
Oh, my gosh. Sandy, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. That brings me to tears. Yes, and Ron and I both, right? Oh, my gosh. And what you said is so true. And, Ron, I know you feel it, too, that there will be peace for us on December 29th of this year as it's dedicated, like you said.
Beverly
and remember.
And
so,
Ron, Beverly and Ron, I think the memorial, once it's built and it's there, you'll find that mm-hmm. a lot of Eastern people will go there just to recall that. And so many people mm-hmm. worked out in the Everglades. A friend of mine, my best friend from high school, a mechanic with Eastern, was one of the first arrivals out there to the Everglades. But that memorial will be a tremendous focal point for Eastern Airlines forever. We have our own memorial, the Pilots Association, and Jim Holder could tell us a little bit about that, because we have one in the Atlanta terminal. And I guess it would be called in a memorial. A lot of folks that they go through the terminal. And, Jim, I'm going to ask you to tell us where it's located and what the memorial is all about, Jim Holder.
Well, it is in the North Turnbull, the Atlanta airport, the domestic side. It's about opposite the North Gate number 5, North Doors number 5. It replaced the original memorial that was started in Miami many years ago where they listed the people who died. And it got so big that they had to move it to Atlanta. And then we started, didn't have people being hired on, and the ones that were still here as Eastern started its decline, we decided that we would just put the names of every pilot that flew from Eastern going all the way back to the 20s or the 30s or whatever. It took about another guy and I, another pilot and I, it took us about 7 or 8 years to get all the names, and we had something like 16,000 names of pilots. We knew that was really too many, and so we had to cull it down, and we got it down to about 6,600, and we put it up. It was cast in bronze. We raised something like $45,000, and that was more than enough that we needed. It ended up costing about $25,000, but it's there. It's up on the wall, and we have some pictures of photographs of airplanes around it. It's there forever, if we understand it. And the airport has no plans to remove it or anything. So you can go through and see alphabetical your family member or friend or whoever and see them. And you can go or Google it. And I can't tell you exactly how to do it, but once you Google it, you can zero in and read the name on it as if you're standing right in front of it.
Wow.
Beverly, is your monument also going to list the survivors?
It's going to list all of the Eastern pilots. All of the Eastern pilots. Are you talking about the pilot memorial?
No, she's talking about the Eastern.
It will just have the 101 names of the souls that perished on it.
Wow. Well, the number is just so extraordinarily large that I can comprehend the reasoning behind that. But
yeah,
I will tell you, it was very profound with the monument to go and see your own name on it and what Ron will cherish and experience personally as he goes and sees Lily's name on it, that forever, ever, she will be honored and remembered.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. That was Ron saying, yes, it's so important. It will mean so much to him and bring him the peace he needs, too.
Do we have any questions from our host, our guest host? And I've got a couple of numbers here. Let's see, area code 519. Who might that be at area code 519?
That's Renee McKinnon from London, Ontario.
Hello, Renee. Good to hear you.
Enjoying the show very, very much, and I'll be supporting the program
later on,
but keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I have a word?
Sure.
Over here.
Yes. Go ahead, Jose.
Okay. I think it's very important that we have to acknowledge one thing that these remarkable people who's making this memorial is doing it. So far, if you see the essence that these people, what they show over here in this program, they are showing to me is the love and the essence of what Eastern Airlines was all about. O sea, they were more like just coworkers. They were like family. O sea, in other words, there have been many air disasters around the history of the aviation. There have been worldwide news and everything, but none of those has been more significant and more caring to keep the spirit of those who passed away that fateful day on the Everglades, that the people of Eastern making all these, even though 50 years after, and they start to keep the spirit and of those who passed away and make the families and descendants to never be forgotten. That is something that no other airline, at least from my view, has ever done before. And that's something that a lot of people and everybody that can listen to us right now has to take it under consideration, and it will be remarkable and appreciated, all the donation they can get, because they really deserve it.
Thank you, Jose. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've got an area caller from 305 that just popped up on my producer's board. Area code 305.
Hey,
who's this?
It's Mark Porter.
Hey, Mark Porter. How are you?
Good. I biked 18 miles today, so I came back and passed out, unfortunately.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Passed out. Well, you know our show today, Mark, is pretty much about 401 and raising the funds necessary to put a beautiful memorial there in Miami Springs, which I didn't live too far away from, I believe, where the memorial, the first home I owned was right out there on Manola Drive, right down the street from the Travers Motel off of 36th Street. Everybody knows that landmark, the Travers Motel.
That's where my kids are.
Okay, all right. But thanks, Mark, and I hope you can come back with us when we come back on our other shows and tell us, update us about the new Eastern Airlines. But right now we want to spend the last few minutes that we have of the show talking to Beverly and Ron about the memorial. Any other words that you want to talk about, Beverly and Ron, please, our host, if you'd like to ask them a question, please do so.
Well, I'm so overwhelmed. I can't thank you all enough for your support, Neil, and you know, for letting Ron and I be with you today. I mean, you know, for me, Eastern, it was, like Jose said, it was a family. It really was a family. And if you ever read my story, I said those were my people. I felt that even for our passengers and crew. So I know it's been a long time. And like Sandy said, yes, 45 years even for her memorial. So I just want to thank everybody. I don't have a particular question right now, but Ron, do you have any questions for our hosts or
no
anyone?
But thank you. Yeah, Neil, thanks again for mentioning us and keep our hopes and our dreams alive. It's very important to us and the family members as well. You know, they keep calling and wanting updates on what's happening, and we're just so excited to get this thing finally off the ground. And we're looking forward to the 50th year and having a great celebration out there at the Miami Springs. And I know the media is going to be out there as well.
Great. And I think we'll have a large crowd out there because my wife and I plan to come down to it. And,
oh, great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So therefore, I know it's going to happen. We want to go back down to South Florida. I grew up in Miami area.
And you're right, Neil, that most Miami Springs was home to many airline folks there. You know, it still is, but, you know, we lived there while we were training. You know, we lived at the Villas. So you're right, Miami Springs, we loved it when they gave us that home.
Oh, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, the NTSB hearings were right held there in Miami Springs Villas.
Okay.
I remember going to a couple of them. I'm still in a wheelchair, and I remember going to a couple of their hearings. They had it for about 5 days, I believe. The NTSB was there, yes.
This you may not have this right in front of you, but probably you have it in your mind. But Beverly, could you give us the names of the flight attendants that lost their lives on Flight 401?
It was Stephanie Stanich, who was sitting across from me in L4, and Patricia Geisels, who was sitting in L3, because as you know, we went in, we hit left side first. So we lost them. And Sandy, I know, like you, you know too, the survivor guilt was very hard to deal with. I always felt I should have been able to to find Stephanie, but I would not have been able to. But yes, so we lost two of the flight attendants, and then, of course, the entire front end crew.
And they were Bob Loft, Captain Bob Loft, and Bert Stockstill.
Yep.
I knew Bert, and also
mm-hmm.
Don Repo. And there was another pilot there also, I believe.
And if any of the listeners want to know more, if they just Google Eastern Flight 401, and you'll see the original website done by Peter Weingott out of New York, who wasn't with us, but he used to fly that. He was on that flight many, many times coming down to see his grandparents down here from New York. So you can just Google it, and you'll see quite a bit there.
Okay.
You know, stressing the urgency of this to be completed, I just want to say that it was just one other flight attendant and myself. My cockpit crew was killed, and Kathy flew for 45 years and retired and was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and passed right before the year before the memorial was finalized. So it was very hard for me and many others to see this come to fruition without her, as our numbers are getting smaller, but we know we are looked upon by all of them.
Yeah. Jim Holder, you had a comment?
Yes, I want to clear this up in my mind. It's on page 9, it starts out high kneel. There's just a small group of us, and it goes all the way down to talking about send the check to, and at the very bottom, it says, thank you for so much. Looking forward to you, Beverly Barbosa. I think that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy and paste that and send it on my EL info list. It'll go out to about 200 names of pilots and these other Eastern people.
Thank you.
I'll make a donation too.
Thank you.
thank you
so much. And
if you need to put my
information, it's at the bottom of the original letter. You're most welcome to put my email address and phone number on it, too.
Okay. All right. Do I have your email address here somewhere? I get confused very easily at 85, so I guess you got to help me out.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. I've got her address. So
okay.
Okay,
good. All right. Yeah, well, it'll
go out this
afternoon, I guess.
And by the way, the REPA website is repaonline.com, REPA, R-E-P-A, for Retired Eastern Pilots Association, repaonline.com. And you'll see, I think you can see the Atlanta Memorial for all the pilots there, right, Jim? On that website.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
North Turnham.
Yeah. So visit that repaonline.com. And thanks, Jim, for getting it out to the remaining pilots of Eastern that you have the mail list for. And we appreciate it. So, Beverly and Ron, your dream is going to come true, and we'll see you in Miami December 29th.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
God bless.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now,
goodbye.
I have any other questions before I ask Jose, who's been standing by? Let's see. I got Mark, who's, I think I've talked to just about everybody here. Jose was not a former Eastern pilot, our Eastern employee in San Juan. Tell us what you do, Jose Garcia, for spotting planes and so forth.
Well, back in my homeland, I live right now in Tucson, Arizona, but back in my homeland in San Juan, I used to be what we call a spotter. A spotter is a enthusiastic aviation fan who likes to take pictures, video, share of bikes, scale models, and everything, and always keep watching the traffic that comes because eventually something unexpected might arrive, and you never know. And that was happening a lot in Puerto Rico during the Eastern era and also the 90s era, which were the biggest prime back then. But also, I'm also a historian. I always kept data about the events that happened in San Juan during the 70s, even though I didn't live the old 70 because I was born in 72. But from the 1970 all the way through here, I keep data. I was doing researches and everything. And when it comes to Eastern Airlines, I will have to say that Eastern Airlines entered to the Caribbean in 1970 using Puerto Rico as the main base. And why the main base? Because according to what I found, Eastern Airlines found a very important geographically position in the island to have it as a hub, because not only Puerto Rico would be geographically was a very centered, but because that will help also the airline to have the connections from the island, not only the connections from the small islands that the big jets couldn't go, but also the people of Puerto Rico who also like to travel around. And also it helped also Puerto Rico was San Juan, the main Caribbean cruise stop. Sorry, in other words, all the cruise ships that goes around the Caribbean stop in Puerto Rico to empty, reload, and go further for another week for Caribbean vacations, on cruise vacations. That's how important Puerto Rico was during the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. And Eastern Airlines came to Puerto Rico in 1970. Back over there, the aircraft, they start to work with the DC-6, the 787, 707, and 720. However, I could, and also the DC-8. However, I couldn't find the information about the routes that those aircraft were taking because I didn't have any availability on that. However, I do have found the routes that the other aircraft, for example, the L-1011, 727, 757, the A-300, usually has. For example, the L-1011 were traveling almost in daily basis between Miami, JFK, and Chicago. We have the 727 who has flights from Newark, Boston, Tampa, and Fort Lauderdale. We have also the 757 who was going to Washington, Dulles, Philadelphia, and also backing up another flight to Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, Atlanta, and Chicago, too. So the 757 was a pretty, pretty medium-range BC aircraft in Puerto Rico. And then we have the Airbus 300 who also back up the L-1011 between Miami, New York, JFK, Orlando, and Boston. Then we also have, Eastern also have the system Metro Express with small regional jets that go through the islands of St. Thomas, St. Croix, St. John's, Tortola, St. Kitts, Guadalupe, Martinica, Barbados, Curacao, and Trinidad and Tobago. And then, when it comes to the contribution that Eastern Airlines make to the community over here in Puerto Rico, well, Eastern Airlines not only became one of the sponsors of major events like the seasonal baseball events and the local Puerto Rico basketball season, which many of the local superstars were drafted to the NBA. Eastern also was a sponsor of international events that influenced on the impact in Puerto Rico. For example, the Miss Universe pageant, which the first two were sponsored by Eastern, and two of the five Miss Universe that were chosen from that were from Puerto Rico were in 1970, which her name was Marisol Malaret, which she arrives in a brand new L-1011 back then, and then in 1985, the second Miss Universe, Deborah Carthy, which arrived from Miami, both in an Airbus 300. Then Eastern also make a contribution in case of disasters. On December 31st, 1986, on New Year's Eve to 1987, as the world remember, a dark event in the history of Puerto Rico happened when the DuPont Plaza Hotel was caught in fire. Dozens of dead due to a management union dispute. Eastern Airlines offered, without charging extra and everything, to the trip to the survivors and the families to go back to their homes after that tragic event. Eastern also was sponsored to many local TV programming and everything. So, in other words, Eastern was making a huge impact in the community of Puerto Rico. Now, the big question, there's another question over here. How Eastern influence in the people of Puerto Rico? Well, let me go a little further. I don't want to take too much of your time. Even though Miami has more flights out of San Juan due to the business connections and cruises, Orlando became more attractive to Puerto Ricans. And why? Because since not only Eastern was the official airline for Disney World, but when it comes to Puerto Ricans are like, when they come to go to vacation, they like to go either with friends or family. They like to go in packs. So they saw Orlando, but also SeaWorld and Wet n Wild back there, more attractive than Miami. So eventually, Eastern made increasing flights to Orlando. And that impact, that influence or that impact that Eastern made in Puerto Rican is still up today, I'm sorry. Because right now, if you notice, the according to the census, Puerto Ricans are the biggest majority in the Orlando area and surrounding areas in the state of Florida, while in the south, is the Miami area is more the majority is of Cuban people. Not only in Orlando, but also Eastern make an impact on Puerto Ricans in New York, and Puerto Ricans are one of the biggest majorities of the Latino community in New York too. So that's how the impact Eastern made, because according to the propaganda, the TV ads and everything, Eastern made the Puerto Ricans look those destinations very attractive, not only to visit as a vacation, but also to invest, to move people over, to purchase house and everything. So on that matter, that's how the impact Eastern has in Puerto Rico. As well, many on July 1987, to be more specific, on July 1987, in the main hub of San Juan has like 8 or 9 gates. In the Eastern was on the Terminal D with 8 or 9 gates to their control, along with Eastern Metro Express on the main gate of the airport. Don't know what side by side. However, I don't know if you saw our Facebook page. I download one of the pictures over there with an L-1011 in the Terminal D and the Metro Express on the side. I had it over there. I downloaded it over there so you can see the impact over there. But in 1987, to be more specifically, on July 24th, Eastern announced an expansion to the hub in San Juan with an investment of $36 million, which would be saying almost $100 million today, plus aid from the local Puerto Rico government to help build the brand new back then Terminal B, which begin on August 11th from 8 to 12 gate facilities. Back then, the first terminal, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Jose, yeah, we're running out of time right now, but the influence and impact Eastern made in San Juan and Puerto Rico and all through the Caribbean is probably nowhere.
Remarkable, I have to say.
Yeah, I words can't come to my mind right now, but what a dominance mm-hmm. that we played, and I'm glad you brought a lot of that. Some of the things I didn't know about Miss Universe being sponsored by Eastern for a couple mm-hmm. of years there, but I sure appreciate it, and we want to have you back on the show. When we come back, I want to take this time right now to thank Beverly, Ron, you, Jose, for being with us today, and Margaret and Luann are still with us. And are you still there, Margaret and Luann?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And Jim Harris?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah. It's great to hear our great airline and we saved it, the best for last, is what the five that we have done in the last 5 weeks, Eastern Airlines. This is the last one we'll do because we'll be off the air now until about July 18th, I believe, will be our next show. So we'll be off about 4 weeks for the summer and come back. And hopefully we can have Beverly, you and Ron come back and tell us how goes it and where we are, okay?
We sure will,
yes.
And we'll have mercy with us too. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'm gonna let Captain Harris get us out of here, so I'm turning it over to you, Captain Harris. Thank you so much, Jose, for the words.
Anytime, I may be saying hello to every other participant.
Thank you. Captain Harris, it's all yours to take us out of here.
Well, let's take us out of here. It's always a great show, Neil. Thank you for doing what you do. I'm not capable of doing what you do, so you do a wonderful job. And all I know is
yeah,
you do a wonderful job, and we all appreciate it. And, yeah, let's send us on out of here. I can't list the Silver Wings because I'll be humming it all. So I'm going to sing it probably till the middle of July.
Well, I'm going to read your part then. I'll close it out. Well, that's our show for today, and we're taking the next 4 weeks off, as I just mentioned, going on a summer break. Thanks to all of our hosts, and we want you to have a wonderful summer. Stay safe and healthy, and we'll see you when we return in July at 1 p.m., remember, when we hear about Margaret and Luann's visit to the studio of Eastern Airlines Radio Show and the Airline Radio Show, which they will be doing this week. We're so happy to have them here in the St. Augustine area. Well, now, Mr. Merle Haggard, let's take us out of here on Silver Wings.
Hey, thank everybody so much.
Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight. They're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight. Don't leave me, I cry. Don't take that airplane ride. But you locked me out of your mind and left me standing here behind. Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight. They're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight. Taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight. Slowly fading out of sight.
Thanks all. See you in July.
Thank you.